Early the next morning, lusty old Väinämöinen readied his red boat with a gold prow. He raised a blue sail and a red sail, and he set off into the mist in the early morning. Annikki, Ilmarin's sister, was out doing her laundry on the point of the headland that jutted out into the bay, washing her clothes. And she saw something coming through the mist, and at first she wasn't sure what it was, and then she realized it was a boat, and in fact it was a red boat, and with blue and red sails, and there was an old man with a long beard with a copper oar steering it, and no oarsman. "Oh, it's Väinämöinen. Väinämöinen, what are you doing in that fancy red boat? Where are you going?"
"Oh, maiden of the morning, early riser. Why, I'm going after salmon, fishing for salmon trout that are spawning."
"I think you're lying to me, Väinämöinen. Where are your nets, your traps and seines and your poles? My father and my grandfather would always have their boat full of them when they set out fishing."
"Well, maybe I misspoke a little bit. I'm going after geese, hunting for a goose for breakfast."
"Liar, liar, pants on fire. If you were going after geese, where's your bow? Where's your net? Where's your dogs? You need the dogs to fetch the geese after you shoot them with your bows. My father and grandfather would always have their arrows notched when they set out for geese."
"Well, actually, I'm going off at the battle, to the wars."
"Old man, sailor of calm waters, where are your 100 men? Where are your piles of spears and swords? You can't go to battle in a little boat like that." "I think you're not telling me the truth."
"Well, I admit I lied a little. I'm actually on my way to the north, to Bohawa, to fetch that dazzling maiden to me, my bride."
Well, when Annikki heard this, she very quickly left her laundry sitting there on the rocks, hiked up her skirts, and hurried off to her brother, who was already early in the morning pounding away on his anvil at his forge. And she came up to him and she called out to him, "Brother Ilmarin, skillful craftsman, sky crafter, forger of the Sampo, I know something you ought to know. And if you will make me a silver shuttle and golden earrings, I will tell you."
"Well, what kind of treasure? What kind of news is worth that kind of treasure?"
"Oh, but if you make these things for me, I'll tell you. You know lusty old Väinämöinen? He's in his red boat and he's on his way north to fetch your darling to be his bride. You've been pounding away, hammering away here for 2 years on horseshoes, thinking about that girl, and he's off to fetch her as his bride." Well, when Ilmarin had heard this, he said to her, "Quickly, quickly, fix the sauna for me and get lots of soap," because he was covered in soot and sweat and dirty, and he'd been pounding away and the smoke just kind of reeked off of him. "And fetch me the finest clothes you can find, quickly." And so she did that, and he went to work and quickly made her shuttle and golden earrings, and he went to the sauna, and he scrubbed himself clean, and he used lots of soap, and he dressed in the fine clothes. He was so bright and white and handsome that hardly anyone could recognize him. And then he got his sled. And his sled was a very special sled. It had silver runners, And he had a big hoop over the top. He mounted on it 6 cuckoo bells and 7 bluebird bells to make lots of lovely jingling noises as he glided over the snow. And he hitched to it the most powerful chestnut stallion he had. And then he called out to Yuku, god of the weather and everything else, make it snow that my sleigh will move fast. And the snow started to fall, and he threw furs in the seat of his sled, and he wrapped some around himself, and he galloped his horse off across the snow for a day and another day and then a third day. And there he was, drawing near to Wainanoman in his red boat. Hey, Wainanoman, eternal singer, I hear that you're after my darling for whom I forged the Sampo. Oh, it's you, Ilmarin, skillful craftsman. Yes, I am. She's the one who dared me make this boat. I say we make a pact that neither one of us will take this girl by force, but that we will let her make her choice and have her will, and that neither of us will hold a grudge when she makes that choice. Well, old Wainanoman was confident that he was going to win this, so he agreed. And they both set on up, heading north. Pretty soon, the dogs started barking at Bahaja. The dogs were barking and barking, and the master of the house said, go see what's the matter with the dogs. Well, the daughter was busy with her chores, mucking out the cowshed. The son was sharpening his axe. He had a huge pile of wood to chop. And old Lohi, she was busy kneading the bread in the bowl. So finally the master went out and looked. And he saw a boat and a sleigh coming in a hurry his way. And he ran in the house and he said to his wife, strangers are coming. What does it mean?
We shall see, she said. Get me a rowan branch and throw it on the fire.
And they threw the branch in the fire. She says,
if it oozes blood, there will be trouble. If it oozes water, there will be peace.
The daughter, the dazzling daughter, the rainbow maiden, it's oozing honey.
Oh no, said Lohi, it must be some more suitors coming to get my daughter. There seems to be no end to these suitors. You just can't hide away a maiden as beautiful as this.
Then she went out and looked.
Why, that's old Wainanoman, that famous singer. I bet you that boat is full of treasure. And that's that smith, Ilmarin. He's got nothing in his sleigh. And she took a tankard of mead and handed it to her daughter. And she said, give this to the hero of your choice. But I say it ought to be old Wainanoman. He's the wisest. And he has a boat surely full of treasure. That smith comes with nothing.
Mother, I don't want riches and treasure, and I certainly don't want to marry an old man. I would rather marry a young man with strong arms like that smith. You would have to wash that smith's apron and his sooty head every night. I don't care. I want to marry a young man, not an old boring man like Wainanoman. Well, soon, Wainanoman arrived. After he got down off his boat and went through the usual talk about the weather and stuff, which is always the same in that dismal place, he said, rainbow maiden, dazzling young woman, will you marry me and be my friend forever? A mate upon my knee, a hen under my arm? Well, she said, did you build this boat like I asked, with without using your hands from the splinters of my shuttle?
I have done everything you asked, young maiden.
Oh, well, I can't marry a sailor. They're always off when the wind blows. And when the wind isn't blowing, they're grumbling. About then, Ilmarin arrived in his sleigh. And as he came in, the young woman, looking at her mother and Wainanoemon, handed Ilmarin the tankard. And he said, I will not drink this until she is willing to be my wife.
Well, said Louhi, the hag of the north, that old witch,
first you must do some tasks. This is the way they handled suitors in those days. We call it the son-in-law test. You must do these tasks, and then I'm sure this young woman will be ready and willing to go with you. The first task is that I have a field that Hisi, the evil one, has thoroughly infested with poisonous snakes, and I want you to plow it. Smith Ilmarin scratched his head. What am I going to do? The young woman, struck by his good looks and strong arm, said, you're a smith. Make yourself a suit of armor. Cover your legs and hands so the snakes cannot get you, and make yourself a plow of gold and silver. It'll ward off the evil of the field. And he did that. And he plowed the field. And though the snakes struck at him repeatedly and tried to bite him, they did not succeed, and the field was plowed. Now, old Louhi was disappointed because most suitors failed at this test. But she's got another. She says to him, I want you to do this for me. I want you to capture the wolf and the bear of Tuoni, the Lord of the Dead, and bring them to me muzzled. Well, the craftsman, the smith, Ilmarin, didn't know what to do again. The young woman said, come on, you're a smith. Get yourself some iron and go in the rock at the base of the waterfall in the river of Tuoni and build yourself a forge and forge a muzzle and bridle out of steel. And in the midst, you will capture them. Well, it seemed like a good idea, so he went to work. He moved his stuff out there on the rock, and spray was coming down, but he pounded away, and soon he had the bridle and the muzzles, and there in the fog, he was able to muzzle first the wolf and then the bear, and he brought them to Louhi, who was even more disappointed because no suitors had ever succeeded at this task before. But she had one more. I want you to bring me the great pike. You know what a pike is? It's a big fish, lots of teeth. The great pike that lives in the river of Tuoni. Bring him to me, and I'm sure that my daughter will be ready to marry you. Well, skillful craftsman, eternal smith, forger of the Sampo, one who crafted the sky, was again at a loss. But the daughter, who was perhaps a little warmed in her heart by this courage of this young, strong, handsome fellow, said to him, build yourself a great forge and feed it lots of wood and build a great fire and forge yourself an eagle of flame with a bronze beak and talons of steel and use that to catch the pike. And so he did. He fed the wood and he fed the wood. Some planks he tore from the cabin floor and he heaped the fuel fire. And the furnace roared and the flames rose up and rose up and rose up. And pretty soon it began to form a set of massive wings so big that one side could touch one side of the river and one side could touch the other. And then attached to it was a bronze beak, a massive bronze eagle's beak and great talons of pure steel, and he hopped aboard the eagle, and they started to fly over the river. flying low, looking for the pike. Well, a water sprite struck up out of the water and snapped at Ilmarinen, but the eagle snapped his head off, and he was gone. They swooped back and forth over the river, and then slowly they saw it rising up, the great pike. Its length was that of 7 boats. Its teeth were like those of a rake. Its jaws were enormous. And the eagle swooped down and seized that fish with their talons and rose up and rose up. But that fish was struggling and snapping, and the claws tore through the flesh, and the fish dropped back into the water. And again the eagle went down and snatched at that fish, and a great battle erupted in the sky as the flaming eagle wrestled with the great fish, snapping and snapping and biting, and finally the eagle snapped at its head, carried it to the top of a tall tree, cut off the head, let it drop to the ground, and devoured the rest of the fish. Well, Ilmarinen, he had the head, but no fish. Well, but the head might be worth something. So he took the head and went to Louhi. Here is the head of the fish. You can probably make a chair out of its bones. Well, Louhi was not happy. She didn't care about the fish, but now she would have to give her beautiful daughter to this smith. Now, the master of the house, he was a little sad. He was losing a good farmhand. But on the other hand, maybe, just maybe, and perhaps he said this too soon, there will be no more suitors. Ilmarinen took the tankard from the now willing maid and drank from it and said to her, "Will you marry me and be my friend forever? A mate upon my knee, a hen under my arm?" And she said, "Why, yes, I will marry you and be your friend forever. A mate on your knee and a hen under your arm. And Wainamoinen was the saddest of all." And this is what he said. He said, "A man should go and look for a wife while he's still young and handsome, not old like me. He should find a young woman that will marry him and be his friend forever, and sit on his knee and, like a hen under his arm, will lay out his bed and fluff his pillow at night. Well, what will become of this smith and a now willing maid? A feast has to be prepared. Guests have to be invited, and perhaps some not. Well, we're going to have to ask our next teller to tell us this story.